5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench. So I saw this one guy put up a tweet of they showed this guy bringing this gigantic vat of chili into the office, and he's got a Penguins goalie mask on, and he drops the chili all over the office. I mean, like a 400-gallon tub of chili, and it just goes all over the floor like vomit. And that's exactly what happened to Tristan Jarry tonight. In that double overtime with him feeding. he had the assist on Bailey's winner. Nice job, dude. You suck. I'm done with this guy. Oh, my God. If he's in the game ever again, in any game, it's just automatic. Run to the window. Run. I mean, naked. Run naked and bet. You won't win. You will win the bet if you bet against him. You're automatic. It's just automatic. I mean, I've never seen anything like it before in my life. How bad that dude sucks. I mean, I hate that forever now. I'm done with him. That's it. I can't back a guy that does that. I can't back a guy. And you know what? I'm not nice. Okay. So all this, he's our teammate. I love him. And we lose as a team. Yeah, whatever. Whatever. What the F ever. I don't even know what that means. Like, if you blow a game that badly, you deserve nothing, but you get to soak in it like in a hot tub. Go sit in it because you did it. You caused it. He'll never recover from that. That guy will, I mean, he's going to need pills and a shrink and a rubber room for the rest of his life. He'll never live that down. He'll never live it down. I mean, he's Leon Lett. He's never going to live it down, Mafia. Tell me how he recovers from that, besides that he won't. He's never going to win. That guy couldn't win game six right now if the Islanders team bus crashed and they didn't make it to the game.
Right, they can say all they want. Oh, we win as a team, lose as a team. You didn't lose as a team. Team played your ass off, shot the puck like crazy at the other goalie. He stood on his head, and then your guy gave the puck up to an oncoming guy right in front of him. Gave the puck to someone on the other team. The guy, take it. Give me your best shot. And he burned him. He lost that game. The other guy got outshot by double. And they did not lose. But he gave the puck up like that. And sure, you got to move on to the next game, next play, all that mentality. But you know that's going to eat at him. He's going to be thinking about that until that next game starts, for sure.
Oh, please. They're done. Put a fork in them. That guy... that guy won't even sleep. Tonight or tomorrow. How's he ever going to recover from that? He's not. As far as I'm concerned, they should start DeSmith. I mean it. There's no way he recovers from that on Wednesday and wins. How is that possible? You just gave away the game in double overtime to the other team. You said, here, I don't effing want it. You take it. Here, have it. He said, here, take the game. You win. I quit. And they scored on his mistake. And it was blatant. Everyone saw it. They're all making fun of him. There isn't a soul on earth that didn't see it that thought, oh, my God, how stupid was that play? Now, this guy is going to – how's he going to sleep tonight, Mafia? He's not going to sleep. And it sucks the life out of you to begin with, being a goalie. You know, you're just soaking wet and beat up. And we welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego. Near Tijuana, do you wanna? Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, Hoorah Soldier. It's Pharrell on a Bench with Mafia. So, do you seriously think that kid sleeps tonight or tomorrow? Like, that kid,
no.
If you were him, you can't even go anywhere in public. He can't even leave his house. He can't, like, when he goes to the airport with the team, he has to wear a wig and a hat and sunglasses and makeup. So no one knows it's him getting out of his car at the airport. Even it's the private airport in Pittsburgh. They go to the private little airport. That's where the plane leaves from. They don't leave from the main terminal. They leave in the private end. And then he still has to hide. And then when he gets on the plane and flies to New York, everyone there is just going to abuse the shack out of him at that Coliseum. He's just going to get abused. They're going to hurl insults at him. And don't tell me that kid ain't rattled from this. He'll never recover from this, ever. Not tonight, not tomorrow, not ever. You cannot tell me that guy is going to bounce back from this. No one does. If you do something that pathetic and that stupid in pro sports, you never live it down. You never live it down. Look what they do to guys that get posterized in the NBA. You'd think they committed murder the way they treat a guy that gets dunked on. What do you think they do to guys that blow games? Like, that literally stupid-ass, dumb-ass, turnover-ass play of the century. It was so stupid what he did. And you're not going to live it down. He needs a shrink and a rubber room and some pills.
These days, it's hard to find something you can trust. Your car?
Yeah, right.
Trust takes time. And that's why we're here.
24 hours a day.
7 days a week. We are your trusted source for gaming, odds,
and more.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So, Pharrell on the Bench, the Oilers have the lead with a minute 25 left in the second period in Pharrellipeg. It's 3-2 Oilers. Don't forget, they had a three-goal lead yesterday when they blew the game 5-4. They were up, and that was with 10 minutes left. So you can't really trust the Edmonton Oilers. Speaking of floppers, they're as bad as the Penguins. The Oilers, like, I have zero stock in them. I bet on them tonight, but I didn't want to. I'll tell you that much. I told you on Coast to Coast today, Mavi, I was like, I don't have any faith in them winning tonight, even though I bet on them. I mean, they're so done, it's not even funny. And then when you're down 3-0, you're done. I don't care who you are. It's just over. And then you just can't recover from it. I don't think, I personally don't believe that Tristan Jarry can recover from tonight. Ever. Forget about Wednesday. Forget about Wednesday night. That's over. I'm talking about ever recover from it. He'll never live it down. He will never live down that giveaway tonight in double overtime. You knew somebody had to be blamed. That's how these games end. And they end by a mistake. Bad bounce, a mistake, lucky break. That's how they end. Or someone to blame. There's only those are the only options, right? A bad bounce, a break, lucky, or a mistake. Or somebody gives it away. And he gave it away. And when you give it away, and you're the reason that you lose. I mean, the Penguins will say there's all kinds of reasons they lost. That is the biggest crock of Shaq ever when they start telling you there's a million reasons why we lost the game. It's not that one play. It's like, you know, telling me a kicker has a who was it with the Vikings or whatever, like a 27-yarder to win the game and he misses in overtime. And then they're like, it's not his fault. There was all kinds of reasons we lost the game. No, there isn't. Stop with all that team BS and all that friendship stuff. The kicker misses the 27-yard chip shot. You lose. It's his fault. And then tonight, you lose the game. You have 50 shots on goal. You lose the game. You can't score a goal. The goalie beat you. And then your own goalie gave him the game. Your own goalie gave him the game. So he gave them the game. It is his effing fault. There is no other way of slicing it. You could try all that teamwork BS until you're blue in the face. No one buys it. Like, they're all selling you this Letang and Gensel and all of them, Rust, all selling you their BS that we win as a team, we lose as a team. No, you don't. No, you don't. You lost because your goalie gave the game away. That's why you lost. And there is no way I believe for 1 minute that kid recovers from that. Sorry. And I'm not nice. So if you're looking for the Christian guy to give you the loving kiss and all this hugging, and it's okay, God loves you. No, he doesn't. God blames you for that loss, too. So is this another one of those things, Mafia, where God is an Islander fan and he hates the Penguins? Is this one of those deals? With like, all these college football, when the players, when they come out the field, we're so blessed that God, I give all the credit to God that we won the game because, obviously God hates the other team. God loves your team. Like, are you kidding me? So do you think God was pleased with Tristan Jarry tonight? Mafia? You think, he's obviously an Islander fan. They win every game. So God loves the Islanders. He hates the Penguins. And he did that to Tristan Jarry. So blame God. It's God's fault they lost. It's not Tristan's fault. It's a team game.
Probably. I wouldn't say that he hates all the Penguins or he loves all the Islanders, but he probably hates Malkin at least.
Well, those Russians are cold, so they turn on them too. But it's obvious God loves Sidney Crosby. He's had a great career. I think he loves Crosby and hates all the rest of them. And there was nothing. Like, I even thought the refs did a good job overall. I'm not blaming the refs for the game, even though I thought the player got dumped in the Penguins' end in the slot in the third period, and they gave the Islanders the power play with 6 minutes left. They could have won the game right there. But I thought the refs basically put their whistles away and let them play and overall did a good job. So there's only one person to blame, and it's Tristan Jarry. That's it. He blew the game. It's his fault. And now he can live with that forever, which is going to be his worst nightmare because he'll never live it down. He'll never live that down. First of all, do you really see that guy winning a Stanley Cup? That goalie that can't stop any shots up top? He can't stop a shot up top. Eberle's shot to tie the game was another roofer. They can't, and the first goal was a roofer too. So how is it that he's going to win a Stanley Cup ever when he can't stop any shots? And then when he's not missing goals that he gives up, he's giving them away on his stick, passing it to the other team to win in double overtime. The kid, he's doomed. He'll never live it down. I mean, I'll say this much for him. He'd be better off if they traded him or got rid of him because he'll never live it down in Pittsburgh. He'll be hated forever there because of tonight. What, are people going to love him and give him a kiss? These people are brutal, man. They're evil and unholy. And they, you know, the first thing they want to do is blame. When you lose, what do? You blame somebody, right? There's got to be a reason we lost the game. Fans are drunk, smoking crack. They don't have any time to be nice. They want to blame somebody for the loss. Who do you think they blame for the loss tonight? They blame only him. They will blame only, that's who I'm blaming. I mean, the guy gave the game away. I don't have any faith in him to begin with. I think he sucks to begin with. I mean, I've never seen a guy give up. What has he given up? Every single goal in the series has been top shelf. Have you ever seen a goalie give up that many high risers, Mafia, in your life?
No, I haven't. I mean, there's definitely guys that they've attacked up there, but to have just about every goal go up there and all the shots going up there, it just shows that they really feel like he's completely weak there and it's working out for them when they do get it there.
Well, because they know he can't stop them. So they just go up, they just go upstairs and score on him every time. And what is amazing to me is that they don't do anything about it. They just keep wheeling him out there. And they're like, we can't stop it. So there's nothing we can do about it. So let's just lose as a team. Every goal will be a top shelf goal. And we'll just let him just go out there and get pepper sprayed with top shelf goals. He can't stop anything up top. So let's just let him keep doing it. And we'll do nothing about it. We'll just sit back and lose and take it in the arse. I mean, honestly, it's so unbelievable to me. Like, and you wonder, I have to wonder about Sullivan. Like, you're not seeing this? Like, this kid sucks. And then they'll say, no, he's been great. He's been in every game. Well, he just gave the series away. He just gave away the G-Damn series. It's over. They're done. Put a fork in them. Count on it. Everyone knows what's going to happen Wednesday night in the barn. And don't tell me they won there before, so they're going to do it again. The game they won there, they should have lost that too. And you know it. They were up 3-1, 3-3, 4-3, 4-4, and they lost 5-4. Did they not? I mean, you're up 2 goals. They couldn't hold that lead either against the Islanders. And you know what's funny is that when they were up 3-1, I knew that they were going to blow that lead as sure as I was sitting there. And tonight, when they were up 1-0, I knew they would blow the lead. And when they were up 2-1, I knew they'd blow the lead. And when I came on the air to do this show tonight that I didn't want to do, I told you they would lose in double overtime as sure as I was sitting here. And all of it happened.
Guys, my buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Andy Larson's with the Salt Lake Trib, and we thought we'd bring him on. He's a regular on the bench to talk about the Jazz. He covers them. Andy, how you holding up, buddy?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm miserable, actually. My Penguins lost in double overtime tonight when the goalie gave the other team the puck and said, here, you take it. I don't want it. And they lost. And so Mavi has been talking me off the ledge all night. I've been ready to jump off the Hudson, into the Hudson River off the George Washington Bridge. So he has to talk me off the ledge. I'm actually doing the show right now from on top of the GW Bridge, which is 300 feet above the Hudson River where bodies go to drown after big losses. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to jump tonight. Anyway, Andy, let me start by asking you, how did you feel? Were you going to jump after you watched the Jazz lose game one against the Grizzlies?
I mean, probably not, just because, you know, I knew they didn't have Donovan Mitchell, and he is obviously the Jazz's best offensive player. And I knew that it was relatively likely that we would see him at some point in the series. Now, there's a whole dramatical, you know, drama thing that we will get into with that. But, Yeah, the Jazz played really poorly. They didn't make any shots. They turned the ball over. They gave up offensive rebounds. And just you can't make all of those different mistakes, even if you're playing an 8 or actually a 9 seed at home and expect to get away with it. And so the Jazz didn't and ended up losing in what was a fairly embarrassing loss for a number 1 seed at home in a game they should win.
So let me ask you, what is the deal with Spider Mitchell that they scratched him right before the game? And now it seems like from here in New York City, at least from the outside, far away looking at it, it sounds like he's mad at the team.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. You know, he was mad at the team. He wanted to play in that game. He thought his ankle was good enough. He said that there was no pain, that there was no problem with range of movement. And, you know, even Quinn Snyder, the Jazz head coach, said that he was, you know, was on track to play in that game. And so when he wasn't on the injury report on Saturday night and then wasn't on the injury report on Sunday morning, you know, we thought that he was going to be playing in the game. And then so when all of a sudden he gets added to that injury report as out 3 hours before the game, it surprised Donovan. It surprised his teammates who had been preparing for the game as if Donovan would play. And then, you know, obviously it surprised the rest of the public and everyone else. And, you know, I think that's a tough spot to put a 24-year-old kid in, you know, who's, obviously the star of the franchise and you know, probably deserves some leeway there in terms of deciding whether or not he's going to be playing in a playoff game. So, you know, I thought it was pretty remarkable, the about face that happened today, you know, with less than 24 hours after calling him out for game one. They said, yep, he's going to be ready to play in game two, even though game two is not until Wednesday. And so, you know, and then we spoke to Quinn and Donovan today, and they want to move past it. But it was kind of a unforced error to make your star player angry in that way.
So, first of all, why are they not playing until Wednesday? What is there? Is it religious reasons? Why in the F are they not playing that game tomorrow night?
I mean, the NBA is taking 2 days off in between games for some of these games, and I don't know why that is, but that's what they're doing.
So let me get this straight. The NBA that makes everybody play every single night and no one, like the entire season, all teams did was complain about their schedules, and the NBA forced them to play these brutal schedules. Now all of a sudden the NBA is being nice and saying, you know what, take 2 days off between games. Like in the NHL, they just play the next day.
And I wonder if it's like a TV deal where they're trying to get two games on a night or, you know, on during the weekdays, but I couldn't tell you why they do it, Scott. I don't know.
Well, that's unbelievable to me. They should be playing tomorrow. I can't even believe they're not playing tomorrow night. That's amazing to me. So let me ask you this. So who made that decision where Sunday they decided that he wouldn't play? I'm assuming it's over Quinn Snyder's head. It's not him that made the decision. Is it that rich, crazy young owner? Or don't tell me Dwayne Wade's in on it. Who is it? The team doctor? Who screwed that up?
Yeah, you know, they're saying essentially that the team doctors got together. And this is the story, and, you know, I think it's kind of the only thing that makes sense, is the team doctors got together, looked at whatever medical evidence they had, whether it was like agility testing or MRIs or, you know, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. They got together and they said they felt they weren't comfortable with him playing in game one. I don't think that they fully thought about the consequences of that this isn't a regular season game. This is a playoff game. And that by preparing for it as if Donovan would be playing meant that, you know, by pulling him out, that his teammates would be left in the lurch and they would play some pretty awful basketball as a result. You know, like, I don't think that it was a fully thought out decision in terms of the normal consequences. And it's like you can't just do what you would do in the regular season and say, hey, you know, if a guy is at 95%, we want to keep him out because we want to make sure, you know, he gets to 100%. You've got to involve Donovan and his people, his agency, and quite frankly, his teammates in that decision as well. And it doesn't seem like there was any communication on that. From team doctors or team management to everyone who should have known what was going on.
Is he gonna demand to be traded now? Will that be the next thing he's gonna, when this series is over, let's say they win or lose, at some point, is he gonna say, I wanna leave Utah because of it?
I don't think so. You know, I don't think it's gonna be a Kawhi Leonard kind of thing. And you know, I think the reason is that it's kind of the opposite, right? Like where Kawhi Leonard didn't want to play because he thought he was more injured than the San Antonio Spurs thought that he was. This is Donovan wanting to play and the Jazz holding him out. And now the Jazz can solve that problem by playing him in the playoffs, winning the playoff series. And, you know, they win 2-3 games in a row and everyone's kind of forgotten about it. So, you know, I think basically you solve the problem by playing Donovan Mitchell, very likely winning game 2, and then just kind of moving on through this series. But if you don't, you know, then if you stumble, yeah, then you have more conversations and concerns and you know, who knows what happens after that. But, you know, Donovan talked to us today and said, look, I want to move on. I want to focus on game 2. This did make me upset. And yet, nevertheless, I need to be focused on what's happening in game 2. Otherwise, you know, we're going to be in bad straits. So, you know, for him, I think that's the priority. And honestly, that's probably why they announced that he would be available today, even though that game's not until Wednesday, is because they wanted to get ahead of it, kind of get through this news cycle, and then be ready to play in game 2.
So what do you think's a better story, that my buddy has a ticket, and I'm going to show it tomorrow on my TV show, that he won $40,000 betting at the beginning of the season that your boy Clarkson would win the Sixth Man of the Year award. So Jordan Clarkson wins the Sixth Man of the Year award today. First thing my buddy did was send me the ticket because I already knew he had the ticket. He showed it to me at the beginning of the season. He said, look at this one I got going. He bet $20,000 that he would win. He actually bet $20,000 that he would win the Sixth Man. And the guy won the Sixth Man and he's clearing 40 grand. And is that a bigger story? Is that actually a bigger story than Clarkson winning the Sixth Man?
I mean, it certainly is to you. I think, you know, like I think that's impressive. Look, I mean, what Jordan Clarkson's done this season is pretty impressive. I mean, the guy went from a kind of a non-winning player to being, you know, one of the Jazz's most important pieces on the number one seed in the entire NBA. So, you know, props to Jordan Clarkson for doing that. You know, I think it's an impressive career turnaround. It is maybe even a more impressive bet by your friend.
Do you think that Gobert can stay in the game on whenever they play the game next month? Yeah, game 2 is next month. The Jazz need their rest. It's a holy day until next month when they play game 2, next month being Wednesday. Do you think Rudy Gobert can stay in the game? Or how about that flop he had in the game? How pathetic was that?
Yeah, that was not a good look. That was the first time he's fouled out all season, right? And he played, I think, 70 out of the 72 games. Right. So I don't expect him to get in foul trouble again. I think that he will, you know, will probably play kind of the normal allotment of minutes. And I think it really hurt the Jazz to not have him, you know, for 35, 36 minutes or whatever he normally plays. But yeah, as far as that flop goes, we still haven't had the chance to ask him about it because it was, you know, kind of the Chris Paul level of egregious flops that it's in the Hall of Fame for sure.
It was the worst flop. It was the worst flop I've ever seen. It was so pathetic. It was so weak and feeble. I don't even know what to say. Let me ask you this question. Can you hang out for a few minutes or do you got to run?
I actually do have to run. I'm sorry, Scott.
All right. Well, I'll catch you next time. I'll catch you again during the playoffs. Thanks a lot, Andy, for coming on the bench tonight.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
That's the problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
Sucks worse than Tristan Jari. I'll be here all the week. It's a holiday week, so I do extra jokes on the show at night. Thank you, Mafia. I appreciate it. The Greek Freak with 31 tonight and 13 boards, 6 dimes, and that's all she wrote. Forbes had 22, including 6 threes. Pat Connaughton hit 5 threes. Middleton hit 3 threes. They shot 22 of 53 from downtown for 41%. Meanwhile, the Heat shot 8 of 28 from downtown. Here's an idea for you. So you're getting your ass beat by 26 after the first. And you only shoot, you're down the whole game 30 points. And Mafia, they never shot any threes. They shot 28 threes. You know, when you're down 30, I'm chucking 60 threes. That's what I'm doing. If I'm down 30, I'm chucking 60 threes. Are you not shooting threes when you're down 30? I mean, what does it effing matter if you're down 30 if you just start chucking threes every time down? It's the only way you're going to get back in the game. Don't tell me you're going to get back in the game shooting layups, because they didn't hit any of those either. They shot 40%. They shot 33 of 82 from the floor, 8 of 28 from downtown. I mean, explain that to me, Mafia. You don't shoot any threes? The Bucks shot 53 threes in the game. That's what the Heat should have been doing.
Yeah, especially when that's what your team is, you know, can do. Bombs away with guys like Ramos and Hero. And even Dragic can hit him if you get the right shots. You know, none can hit him. That's what that team is, I don't want to say built on, but that's what they have, you know, their secret weapon with all these teams, right? All those guys just jacking threes. And that time Milwaukee got up on you. So you got to fight fire with fire, don't you?
How is it that Jimmy Butler had 10 points in that game? He shot 10 times. Is there not something wrong? Is there something in the water in Milwaukee that your star player only shoots 10 times? He didn't do anything in the first game either, except for the game-tying shot that sent it to overtime. But he really had a bad game. Both games he's been terrible. But tonight he was 4 of 10 for 10 points. 2 rebounds, 4 assists. What happened to Jimmy Buckets tonight? What kind of a performance was that? He's as bad as Tristan Jari. I'll be here all the week. Thank you. It's a holiday week. There you go, Mafia. Jimmy Butler with a nice performance tonight. Jimmy Buckets. I guess he's not a superstar after all, huh? What kind of superstar takes 10 shots in a playoff game? I mean, he played 32 minutes. He played more minutes than any guy on the whole team. And he never shot the ball. Is there not something wrong with this picture, Mafia?
There absolutely is. That's the guy that's supposed to be leading you, right? I get that sometimes you have an off game. Sometimes guys are hot. You let them ride it out. And you give them the ball and feed them because they're the ones lining it up. But can't say that about anybody on that team when you're getting your ass kicked by Milwaukee. Like, if you're getting down and you want to come back and you're supposed to have some guy be tough and, you know, be your leader and lead the way, isn't that supposed to be him?
Okay, so Robinson he shot 2 of 6 from downtown. And then Hero was one of two from downtown. Hero only played 18 minutes. Tyler Hero no longer plays on the Heat. Have you noticed that? He doesn't get any minutes. He's like gone from the penthouse to the outhouse. He doesn't matter anymore on the Miami Heat. That's when you know you got a problem on your hands. But how is it that Robinson, who averaged 13-3-1 in the season, ended up, I think he had 10 points in the game, 4 rebounds. 10 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. He shot 6 threes. Is he not the best shooter on the team? Is he not the guy that they're saying is going to make $20 million in a restricted free agent deal in the offseason, and he only shoots 6 threes? I mean, I'm still trying to get over the 28 threes compared to 53 for the Bucks. The Bucks win by a blowout, you know, by 34. You're down 30 the entire game, and you don't shoot any effing threes. And you got a guy that's a pure three-point shooting star in Robinson, and you don't shoot any threes. I mean, that had to be the worst performance ever by an Eric Spoelstra Miami Heat team ever. If I'm Pat Riley, I'm, you know, literally like wondering if it's the end of the road for Spoelstra. What kind of performance was that tonight, Mafia, where you don't show up? You show up for game one, you lose in overtime by 2, and then in game 2, you lose by 34, and you can't hit the broadside of a barn, and you don't even try to shoot threes when you're down 30 the whole game. And you got guys on the team that are pure three-point specialists. I mean, obviously they've given up on Tyler Hero. He doesn't play anymore. So I guess that's the end of that. That's the end of Tyler Hero in Miami. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed it last year in the bubble, kid, because you don't matter anymore with your face grunts. Remember he had the funny face? He lifted his lip up, gave you a Billy Idol lip when he made the, you know, dagger shot in the bubble, and he acted like he was Billy Idol. He had the whole, he lifted up his lip. He's a badass. Now he's not a badass at all. It's unbelievable. So, anyway, were you saying something, Mafia, to me? I don't even know. Are you yelling something that I'm missing?
The lip snarl that he did. The snarl that, like you said, like Billy Idol. Oh, the snarl. Snarl with the lip.
Yeah. So that's a Billy Idol snarl. So, anyway, right now, the Nuggets lead the Blazers 76-64 in the third with 8.5 minutes to go. I got my eyes on this game, too. It's hard for me. I've been watching hockey all night, and now I have both those games going, the 3-3 Jets Oilers and the 3-1 Wild lead on the Vegas. But now it's a 10-point game. Powell hits a shot. The Blazers are down 10. Do you think that the Nuggets, Mafia, will blow this game tonight?
Yeah, this was a big shot. I mean, the surprise looking at this stats in this game, like, how is it that both teams almost halfway through the second period combined for 21 shots? Like, what is going on? And there's nobody getting the puck on the net whatsoever in this Minnesota-Vegas game.
Okay, you're talking about the hockey game. I'm talking about the Blazers and Nuggets game. So I'm going to stick to the basketball. Here's the deal. There was a fight in this game that broke out when Melo shoved Joker to the ground. And then, I don't know if you know this or not, but like an assistant coach for the Blazers, like ran off, or I guess ran over to, I'm assuming, right? Like, I guess it was a Nuggets coach. Was it like, who was it? Do you know what I'm talking about? There was like a coach. Apparently a coach ran over to the other team and like tried to start a fight or something. He like started yelling at people. And then the whole team was like, we're going to break your neck. Go back to your bench or you're going to get your ass beat. Did you see that happen? The coach running over and trying to like start up with the other team. Like I saw it. I saw a clip of it earlier, and I thought to myself, what is happening here? There was some coach that lost his mind in the and after that fight. I mean, that's what obviously caused it. Now, I don't know. I saw before. I actually saw the clip of the guy running over and starting up with everybody. Like, I'm seeing the Melo shoving Jokic. I saw that, but I have to find this thing here. I'm looking everywhere I can for it to see if I can get it. I saw it before. Blazers, Nate Tibbetts gets attack after confronting the Nuggets players during a timeout. So it was a Blazers assistant, Nate Tibbetts, raced over to the Nuggets bench, and like they were literally waving at him, you need to go back to your bench before we beat your ass. And it says here the Blazers assistant was ready for the smoke. He wanted to take on the whole team. He literally went over by himself and tried to take on the entire Nuggets team in a timeout. An assistant coach who no one's ever heard of. Nate Tibbetts. Who? What do you mean, you people?
You just made the list, buddy.
Nate Tibbetts getting involved, Mafia, tonight. Maybe the Penguins could have used him in goal instead of Tristan Jarry.
But just keeping me hooks off. By catching any of you guys in my stuff, I'll kill you.
At least I can look at it with some good humor, like the ice cream truck. My goalie's such an idiot that he gave the game away. I blame him for every problem in the world. I blame him for, everything. Problems in the Middle East. I blame him for Canada not getting enough COVID shots. You know what I mean? The vaccination shots, Mafia. You can't get them in Canada. I know you blame somebody for that. You haven't been able to see your daughter. You got to blame somebody for that. I blame Tristan Jarry for that.
Absolutely. That's really as good as anybody.
It's Pharrell on a bench. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
All right, Martinez just scored for Vegas on the power play. It's 3-2, and they're out shooting Minnesota 20-7. It sounds like the Penguin game, 50-20-something. And then you got a goalie like Jarry. And you lose. So Vegas scores. It's 3-2 in the second period. So that game's far from over. 10 minutes left in the second. You know this game's going to get crazy. I won't be surprised at all if they win. And, what's Minnesota going to do? They're going to win on seven shots and three goals. Three goals and seven shots. How bad is that for what? It must have been Fleury tonight having his problems. By the way, a fight broke out after the goal. It was pretty fantastic. Like, every guy on the ice was throwing haymakers. Anyway, the other game is, I believe, still 3-3. With 5 minutes left, Oilers and Jets, 3-3. That game, if it goes to double overtime, the Jets will win because Tristan Jarry will make a pass to Scheifele for the winner. From Pittsburgh all the way to Perelovic, he'll make a pass that Scheifele will intercept and score. There you go. All right, I'm running out of time. to crack any of my kick-ass jokes. The Mariners lead the A's 4-1, end of seven. And we know the Jays won today. They've won 11 in a row. Marlins 9-6 over the Phillies. Cover! Indians 6-5 over the Tigers. Rockies beat the Mets 3-2. That's embarrassing, Mafia. The Twins beat the Orioles 8-3. Brewers over the Padres 5-3. And the White Sox beat the Cardinals 5-1 on the south side of Chicago tonight. There you go. As far as the NBA goes, 84-70 Nuggets over the Blazers in the third with about 5.5 minutes left. The Bucks beat the Heat by 34. Jimmy Butler said after the game, they can't get any worse. Jeez, can anyone be any worse? I'll see you tomorrow at 4 East on Coast to Coast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.